Hey, Peter, you know, you have a race coming up.
Yeah.
How many weeks are we out from the Boston Marathon?
We're edging up on 8, I think.
And how many other folks are going to run this race with you? Wait, 8 weeks?
Yeah.
So you only have 5 weeks before you start the taper.
Nah, 6 weeks, right? It's a 2-week taper.
So you're getting into it.
Yeah, this past weekend was a good 13, outdoor 13.
This past weekend with the snow?
Yeah, it was inclement.
Talk about training for the Boston Marathon when you actually live in the Boston area.
Well, I mean, one of the advantages,
yes,
of being in the area is that you can run the course, you can know the terrain, you can know what you're in for.
That's true.
One of the disadvantages
yes,
of being in the area is it's very wintry. And gross and cold and wet and snowy and sloshy. And, you know, you have a choice. You can either go and run inside.
On a treadmill.
For like 2 hours or 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, you know, strap on the old Yak Tracks and go outside.
These are like tire chains for your feet.
Tire chains for your feet. I purchased mine at the podcast Run in Place Party and Extravaganza over at Heartbreak Hill Running Company. Thank you, Dan. And they're lovely. I enjoy them.
Do you?
No, they're awful.
Because I have several pairs of them. I run in them only when I really absolutely have to.
And you probably don't run 13 miles in them when you do it.
No, I'll run like 1 mile and then say, this is the worst. You know when I use them the most? When I'm out shoveling or snow blowing and it's very icy or a dog walk or something like that.
That makes sense.
But I have done some, you know, I've done fours and fives anyway with them on, and I really find them, I would rather slip and slide in the snow than run in my Yak Tracks. And Yak Tracks are a brand name. I mean, it's whatever
these
things that go in the bottom of your shoes.
I would be interested to know if there are any listeners out there who have actually done a mathematical equation, what the conversion chart is. In normal running miles with just sneakers, running shoes, and then when you attach snow implements onto your shoes. For example,
yes,
I ran 13.1 miles on Saturday, but I did them in Yak Tracks.
Right.
Does that, I believe...
Does that mean you ran 17 miles?
Is that 18 to 22 miles of normal running? I don't know. It felt that way, and it certainly took me longer.
Well, it's like you put on someone else's feet and decided to run.
Yeah, and it changed my gait.
Absolutely.
It changed my thighs.
Yep.
I was...
And it's not a better workout.
No, it's not a better workout. It was very arduous and challenging. Am I glad I did it? Sure.
Right, you got the miles in.
Was it cold and snowy the entire time? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did it ever get good? No.
Is that true?
No, it never really got good. Now, part of that was my own fault, Brian.
Yeah.
I will
what was your mindset going into this 13-mile
run? Allow me to fall on my own running sword. I made a choice.
Yeah.
So the first choice was, hey, do I go outside or do I do treadmill? Okay, going outside.
But that's usually the best choice.
I think that was the best choice. But then the next choice was, it was kind of mid-mini storm at 8 a.m. on Saturday.
Yes.
And I get a little phobic about the snowplows, I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't blame you. They're frightening.
I don't want to be killed. while running. I don't want to be killed while running.
There's other circumstances where you'd be perfectly happy to be killed.
Perfectly fine.
But while running...
It's not how I want to go.
No,
and I don't want to go with a giant asphalt razor blade chomping my legs out from under me. That's not how I want to go.
A 10-ton salt-laden beast.
I don't want that.
Mowing you down.
Yeah. A guy named Bernie driving it. The lead foot.
Yeah, who's been plowing for 24 hours straight and his thermos of coffee has been out for 6 hours?
Yeah, and his biggest complaint is, oh, I spilled my Dunkin's after he's hit me. That's That's his biggest complaint.
But Bernie's a good guy.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he's just a little overworked. And frankly, you shouldn't be out running in front of his snowplow.
Well, that's my point. Thank you for bringing it around.
Yeah.
Okay, so
have
I
have a
make
little
the,
personal responsibility
so I
here.
Say, yeah, I could go and run the carriage road on Comm Ave on the marathon route, but I have to get there.
Yeah,
and I
right.
have to get back from there. And I do sort of the math and I think, well, no, I'm not going to run on open roads right now at this time of day in this condition. Instead, I'm going to run the tried and true path to the Jamaica Pond.
Okay.
Now, I know it's a mile there. I know that when I'm done running, it'll be a mile back. Now, I know I got to do 13, so I had to figure out how to do 11 miles around the pond. It's about 9 revolutions around the pond.
Oh, boy.
That's rough. I mean, it's cool. It's cool. No, it's cool, man. It's cool. I found the outdoor equivalent of a treadmill.
Yeah, you did.
Essentially, with things on my feet that make it harder to run in ice and snow.
Yep, you did.
Now, at about the fourth circumference of the pond, a plow did go by, and I had to get off the runway of the Jamaica pond and let it do its thing. And it made things a little worse, I'm going to be honest with you. Because what it did, it was like a Zamboni. It glazed everything nice and flat and tight.
Now you're way slippery.
And well, I mean, again, I had the right implements on my feet for that. Another benefit, though, of not choosing to go where everybody else was that day, I'm assuming, was that I didn't see anybody else.
So you were in your own private Hurt Locker?
Yeah, and I kind of like that.
Okay.
Because I don't have to put on airs of, I got this, this is fine. I can just be miserable. I can be a sad sack of a man trying to run longer and farther than I have in months and months and months.
So all the non-runners who listen to this podcast are saying, see, why, this is why I don't do it.
This is why I don't do it. Okay, but here's why I do it.
Yeah.
Round about mile 12 and change.
Are you seeing the golden light, or is it all blackness at this point?
I actually had a thing around a mile 11 where it got good.
Yeah.
Like I felt really good. I saw the light. It's going to be great. But as you know, the winds of running change instantly. And I went into a deep spin of just, I can't do another two. I can't. And I started bargaining with
Whose
myself.
Whose legs are these?
Yeah, I started bargaining with myself. I started, oh, what could I do? Could I just call it 11 and maybe go on the treadmill for two later on today? Can I go out again tomorrow?
Yeah, run 1.5 tomorrow.
Yeah, when they say long run, do you have to do it all at once? Can you break it up over multiple days?
Love it.
So I went into a bad place around mile 12, which I think, if I calculated out, was around spin 8 of the pond. And I didn't want to break early to head back home, because the worst thing to do is to get back to your destination with another 3/4 of a mile.
And then you're just running either around your block or up and down the same stretch.
And then you're just trying to get the digits.
You're going the same 300 yards over and over and over. And you want to be done. When you can see your house,
you want to be done. So what I did was, I made a deal with myself that go one more time around the pond.
That must have been a hard decision.
It was a tough one. And as I make that decision, this colorful band of circus folk come running at me.
Running gypsies?
I mean, they're in neon, and they're on stilts, and some of them are juggling fire pins. And it's
balloons.
A very small core group of the November Project Boston.
Who else?
Who else would it be?
Right.
And they are just throwing snowballs at each other, and like, it looked like they were eating knishes or something. I mean, they're just having a good time. Oh, and they happen to be running. And I see Emily Saul.
Emily Saul of the November Project.
Friend of the show, Emily Saul.
Yes, Emily
Saul. And I see friend of the show, Chris Capozzi, co-directors, co-leads of November Project Boston.
Yeah.
They're coming right by. They shoot right by me with like 5 or 6 or 7 of their team, and they're just out and about running the pond.
Okay.
And I quickly give them a quick hi, and they sort of think, oh, look at the old man running. How cool is that? Right? And they're
clearly
like,
not training for Boston.
I gave Capozzi a quick high five, because we make that instant eye contact just as you're passing and recognition happens.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, now, I never noticed how tall Chris Capozzi is.
Yeah, he's a tall guy.
Except he was extra tall, because I was like leaning on my knees, bent over, trying to decide if I can handle mile 12. And then
were you dressed like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man? I mean, were you pretty svelte?
I had the layers on, and then the marathon jacket from 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I looked vaguely like a runner.
No, you looked like a runner. You looked like the guy who was out there putting in the miles. Don't degrade.
No, you're right.
Yourself.
Maybe I looked like the granddad of a runner.
No.
Out on a ride.
Peter.
I was going to Dunkin's. was going to get a little Kreller. I was going to hang out.
Maybe you did look
maybe
like
it looked a little bit like that.
You borrowed your son's coat.
Yeah, I borrowed my son's
coat. Can I use your marathon jacket?
Can I just get it quickly, go to the corner? As quick as they came, as quick as that troop of vaudevillian actors came through, they were gone.
Like
perhaps,
a flame.
And perhaps I hallucinated it. Now, that served to give me a little spurt of like, wow, okay, yeah, all right. I'm not alone in this. Everything's cool.
People I know are out here.
I start, after I finish my loop, I start heading home. I get to a crosswalk, the big intersection, before I get sort of to where I've got to end.
Yeah.
And they all come back. They all come running
back.
Well,
they were running around in a loop, yeah, right? A circle. Yeah, exactly. That's what you do.
I thought it was like magic, actually, that they appeared. And it was, you know, it was sort of the universe helping me. But you're right. They probably just did their loop and were headed back to where they were going. Thanks for not giving me the importance and the meaning that I thought it had.
I am sure Providence and the universe had a lot to do with it.
And I had a quick chat, you know, all pep talk, good times with the Capozzi and the Emily Saul. And they were both super encouraging. And they're like, come on, we're doing this. How much you got left? And I was like, you know, I got like half a mile left. All right, we're doing it together.
Wait,
we're doing it together.
Was it more like, I've got half a mile.
Yeah, it was definitely more like,
and I can't drag these cinder blocks any further.
No, I the minute I saw Emily, I said to Chris, I said, I got to make this look good. And I started bringing my knees up and changing my stride.
Doing
and
actually, curls.
Yeah, I tried to, you know, I was doing burpees in between every other step. And no, but they were very kind. The rest of the troupe headed out, and those two, Chris and Emily, stayed with me.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. And they got me another half a mile, and I said, this is my home. This is it. I'm pretty much at 13, and they were going to go off on, you know, do another 110 miles. I don't know what they were doing. I think they were running to Mount Washington, I think. I don't know. But
before they skied down that day.
It was definitely like one of those moments where you realize, like, you're not really alone in this. Just not. You trap yourself in the aloneness, but you're not. Everybody is suffering through it, and everybody is helping each other. And the spirit of that group, of course, is unbelievable. And they gave me, you know, 5 or 6 minutes of just unfettered November Project attention and love and energy.
Feels good, doesn't it?
And I was like 13 miles, and I'm like, I'm going 13.1 because I'm finishing this half marathon. So I did run around my block one time, and I finished strong at 13.1. And actually, that last mile was probably my fastest mile of the 12.
Well, sure.
Or 13, rather. And it was just a great experience. So in the grand analysis of it, the worst workout I've had yet was one of the best. Do you see where I'm going?
I see. That happened? No, that really...
It did happen.
It's such a wonderful story.
It's a great story.
And I'm so glad that it happened to you because you're clearly still buoyed by the entire experience.
Yeah.
And wow, man. I didn't have anything like that this weekend.
No, but you're not necessarily training for anything specific at this moment.
Oh, that's right. That's why I didn't even go running during the storm.
You ran Sunday.
I did run Sunday. I went out and I grabbed 5 with my neighbor and beer brewing master, Will. And he's a steady 5-6 miler.
Nice.
So we went out and did that. And to your point, the roads were pretty bad. We stuck to sort of a bike path area that, you know, there were 2 or 3 inches of snow on it. Not the worst, but not what you would choose to do. I had calf pain. I had some foot pain here and there. And I definitely would have been walking and cutting it short if I was by myself because I don't have any mileage I have to put in.
Right.
And I probably would have gone out a mile, mile and a half and turned it around and said, yeah, you know what, not today. But we were just chatting and having a good time. And even though I did walk up one hill waiting for my calves to realign themselves, which they did, actually the last 2 miles I felt super strong and could have kept going, but glad that I didn't. It was really good. So, yes, sometimes those solo runs are both necessary and pretty amazing, transformative excursions into your own mind or out of your mind. And then other times people come along and wow, you got some fantastic company.
It was also the perfect time.
Yeah.
Like, if it had been mile 8, it still would have been good, but it wouldn't have been the amazing right. level that it was.
Right.
Because they really just escorted me through the end of it.
It's a little like you just crossed the desert on your hands and knees. Your canteen had been empty for a day and a half. And in your final mile, somehow you get scooped on to the lead float of the Rose Bowl parade.
Which is sponsored by Poland Spring. and they're just handing you gallons
you
and gallons
in a
of water.
Pool yeah, full of spring water and ice cream and ride you into your finale there.
Now, I did notice a couple things. I am reminded, of course, that following the training program works. 2 weekends ago when I ran my 10, I was destroyed after my 10.
Mm-hmm.
But then I ran the next week an 11, and I wasn't nearly as destroyed. And then this week when I ran the 13, emotionally I may have been destroyed, but my body recovered very, very fast. I was hardly sore, maybe for like a couple hours after, but then nothing. And of course, it reminds me of 2 years ago when, of course, you go for a 15 and you recover. Then you go for a 17 and you recover. Then you go for an 18 and you recover. You know, I mean, it's just interesting. And then, of course, hopefully you're prepared for a 26.2-mile run. And guess what? The next day, you recover. You're fine.
Well, and I'll tell you my second experience doing this Millinocket Marathon, even though the results, the time results weren't what I wanted, I did recover pretty fast, both from all of my training runs, some of which were really, no joke about it, brutally hard.
Brutal.
I mean, I had a couple of them where I did pretty much what you did, and it wasn't a weather thing. It was a convenience thing of trying to get everything wrapped in before I went to work and running around the, the Newton Reservoir there BC and doing, I think the most I did was 4 or 5 revolutions of that. And having to stop, shake my thighs out, and having a really hard time of it, but knowing, okay, I have to do 3 more of these, I have to do 2 more of these. And then it was, I think, 2.5 miles to my final destination. So I was sort of back timing everything, or back miling everything. In any case, those runs, as hard as they are and as much self-doubt creeps in, on marathon day, that's sort of where you go. And you say,
that's the payout.
I did those runs.
Yes.
I made it. I didn't injure myself.
Nope.
It was really hard. It was harder than I could actually do because I had to stop and stretch and I had to walk sections. But then I got, and then that week I'd fix the parts that weren't working. I'd do more foam rolling. I would do more squats. I would do something. Not overtrain, but try to, or I'd take an extra day of rest, whatever was needed to get me to the place where, 2 days after the marathon, I felt pretty good.
Yeah, you're back at it.
Yeah.
Do you have, this is just a footfall question, and it's a somewhat of a cadence question.
Okay.
But do you ever have a time when you get a little tired in a long run and you scrape your opposing ankle with your other foot as it's coming back through, the side of your foot that's moving catches the inside part of your other ankle? Have you ever done that to yourself?
Yeah, in fact, I've banged inside ankles.
That's what
I have a thing. It's my right foot, as it swings back through, will sometimes hit the left ankle.
Well, that's interesting that that's the oriented, because mine tend to go the other way, but I've done both sides.
Yeah, but I've had to work on it.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It can happen in your deeper miles.
It's when you're super tired.
You're super tired, and you're not being focused, and you're not thinking about form. Okay.
Right.
When you
to say the least.
When you do that with Yak Tracks on, it's such a different kind of pain that I'm sure people do it to hurt each other. Like, I'm sure it's a form of torture in other parts of the world. I'm sure it is. It's so awful.
Is it like the Ben-Hur chariot race?
It's so terrible.
Well, so you're taking out other runners and perhaps yourself with your
Perhaps yourself.
Strike.
Yeah. So that was happening post mile 8, mile 9.
Oh.
Yeah. And I had to be, and the second you do it, bing, you become so aware of your form.
Yeah.
So aware.
Yeah, you're lifting those knees.
Yeah. 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 So I'd advise people, please don't do that. It's not good. Brian, you look like you have something on your mind.
Peter.
Yes.
That's true.
This is a safe place. You can talk. You can talk about anything here.
I'm thinking about our podcast. How was your run today?
How was your run today? The running podcast?
Yeah, about running and everything else.
Okay.
So, what I wanted to tell you, and our dear listeners,
yeah,
especially our dear listeners, is thank you so much for spending a half hour, an hour with us, listening to our free little podcast, which started out as a bit of a lark.
In your garage.
And where I invented Hewlett-Packard decades earlier. No, that didn't happen.
No, but you invented podcasting in the 60s and didn't tell anybody.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
And you didn't patent it. Thanks.
And I've lost all of that potential income.
And that's why we give this out for free.
Oh, well. I was a smart, precocious pre-baby. Because so, I wasn't alive in the 60s.
No, you were not. I was a pre-baby. I don't understand what you're asking them to do. What do you want them to do?
Well, I'm saying thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm saying this started out as you and me having a five-minute conversation about running.
It
expanded to us having longer conversations, talking to our friends and colleagues about running, people in the Boston area, and now much further out.
People we don't even know.
People we don't even know, guests around the country.
It's awesome.
We have listeners around the world who chime in on our SatStat chat.
HWIRT sent you a request. It says SatStat chat. Would you like to reply? Would you like to reply? Would you like to reply?
There's no end in sight, Brian. What could possibly, what could we possibly be asking of our listening audience?
Well, I would just like to say, in order for us to remain robust.
Top of the charts.
Literally.
Yeah.
We only ask you, if you are an iTunes listener, to go to iTunes and give us a comment and a five-star rating.
Yeah, those really actually matter.
They actually
do matter. We sort of were kidding when we first started saying, hey, those make a difference. No, no, they really make a difference.
Because they get our logo and our podcast in front of more eyeballs and into more earballs. So more people will listen.
It changes the algorithm.
It really does. And also, if you can share our stuff on social media. And we're sort of working with a new partner, if you will, in the Radio Public app. And what this is like many other apps, except it's run by the folks over at PRX, the Public Radio Exchange.
Yeah.
And they've built an app specifically for listening to podcasts. And they're doing some interesting, innovative things. It's brand new. I encourage you to try it out. And so what we're going to do is on our website.
Yes.
You will be able to listen through the Radio Public app. And part of that process will be downloading the app to your device. And then you'll get our episodes automatically uploaded on your phone whenever we create a new episode.
The app is excellent.
And it'll all be explained on the website. So it's just a little thing.
Let's app that up.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be a part of this. May I continue to be on the show, Brian?
If you can get one more listener, then yes, you may remain on the show.
I will bring two people just so I can secure my legacy.
Well, that's for 2 weeks.
Oh, I see. A person a week. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm renting space on this podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, all right. All right. Well, everybody, please do that. Download the Radio Public app and check out our website.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peter.
Brian, how may I help you today?
We have a guest here with us.
Oh my gosh.
Funny Ellen London.
Funny Ellen London, star of this podcast and many others.
So many others.
So many others.
Friend of elite runners. And are you a sub-elite runner, Ellen?
Are you sub?
Not yet. Not yet. Here's open. Still time.
But you. So are you a sub-sub-elite? Is there a category? What is your category?
Yeah, sub-sub-elite. Let's go with that.
What do you aim?
Sub-elite squared.
In all seriousness, what's the fastest mile you run?
I don't know. I haven't run just a straight up mile in a while.
And what is your hopeful end finishing time for Boston Marathon 2017?
Oh, do I have to?
No, record? You can just don't. No, don't go nuts.
We're creeping down to the 3-hour mark.
Oh my god!
Okay,
oh,
hoping for someday. Life goals. Hashtag life goals.
Well, I'm creeping down to the 3-hour mark from the 5-hour mark. Is that what you mean? No. Yeah. You mean you're going to break 3?
Maybe not this year, but maybe. Oh. Maybe not. We'll see. I'm working at it.
Brian, can you imagine running that fast? Do you know what must it sound like?
I don't know, because my heart would burst out of my chest and I would die instantly. That's what it would sound like. It would sound like this. Bloop.
That sounds like the HWRT seal of approval, but it's your heart exploding.
Yeah, right out of my chest onto the road. Peter.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking about listeners, gaining more of them, asking our listeners to ask one more person to listen to this ridiculous program we put out.
Spread the HWYRT love.
I was going to say virus, but I think love is a better term.
All right, love virus. Granted.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, Funny Ellen London is not only our guest right now, but she's also a listener. Is that true, Ellen?
I am a listener. And in fact, I wanted to thank you guys for keeping me company this weekend as I tackled what is known in our household as the worst chore ever. So here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
My husband got the oil changed in the car. Thank you, everyone.
Good job.
Cheers. Here's a cookie. That means I get to clean the bathroom and bleach our glass shower, which is like a 2-hour experience. It's terrible.
Top down.
And oh, yeah. You got to do top down. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, it gets all streaky.
And you're doing this like every 3 months? How often are you doing this?
You want me to be honest or you want to be grossed out?
No. I mean, if you did it more than once a year, it's more than I would do.
Oh, okay. So, no. I mean, maybe once every 2 months.
Oh, that's pretty quick. It's pretty frequent.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so you're in bleaching.
Anyway, so I'm in there, and I'm not happy about this, but I know it's my turn. You guys kept me company. You kept me going. I'm laughing away in the shower. I mean, the bleach, you know, going straight to my head obviously had nothing to do with it. You guys still are really hilarious.
You mean the fumes that were trapped in a glass cube?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that was happening.
And what episode were you listening to?
I was listening to the 2 most recent. It was great. And actually, I was finishing up Mike Wardian because I realized after I got through the 2 most recent episodes, then all of a sudden I heard Mike Wardian's voice. I was like, what are you doing here in the shower? And it turns out that I still had 12 minutes remaining of that episode that I had never finished.
That's a great episode.
It's a great episode.
It's a good interview. He's the best.
He is
a savage.
And I'm
so glad he took breaks from running marathons all around the world to be in your shower with you.
I agree. It was so kind. I'll have to send him a note as well.
So can we expect the clicks from you every couple of months when you bleach the shower? Is this a new
thing?
Hopefully
more frequently than that.
That would be great.
Hopefully times will not be so dark.
Honestly, we'll take what we get from you because you're very busy. You're running because you don't listen while you run. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you listen to anything while you run?
On the track, I usually pump some jams, some throwback rap.
Always
for
music.
Example.
Always music.
We'll run DMC.
Not spoken word.
Always music. But long runs, I just gotta think my weird thoughts or not. Sometimes I don't think at all.
You just do it cold. You just do it out there. Just you.
Just got to do it.
Emotionally naked Ellen London.
Just so emotionally vulnerable, especially in this weather. But, you know, got to get it done.
Do you bring little bottles of bleach with you for your outdoor runs just to sniff?
Oh, I don't, but I should.
Maybe. I'm just
little
saying.
Goo, little bleach, just saying.
Peter, Ellen and I did some long runs together prior to Millinocket. You'll remember this.
I do remember this.
She needed nothing. I was there. My pockets were filled with food, filled with goo fuel.
Yeah.
I had a hydration backpack with about 17 gallons of Gatorade.
Yes, she needs nothing. She
ran with a water bottle that I don't think she sipped the whole time. We were doing like 20 miles.
Did she trap squirrels, snap their necks, drink their blood while running?
No, because she was outrunning all the squirrels.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she would text me and be like, okay, I've hit the next mile marker. I'll wait for you here. Isn't that right? Isn't that how it went, pretty much?
That is not true. We were a team unit. You were a bit like a squirrel yourself with all of your
that's that funny
goodies
Ellen
packing
London.
Them away.
You're built like a squirrel, Brian.
I just felt like I needed all of this equipment.
It's a security thing with you.
Well, see, I'm out there. I was running 20 miles. I was going to be out there for like 3 to 7 hours.
But
I didn't
see
know.
The difference. She's fully secure with herself, who she is, and as a runner.
Yeah.
You are a man baby.
Who has
not figured out yet what shoes
nightmare.
To wear or when tights are on, when tights are not on, how many layers you need, what kind of hat you should be wearing. Oh, should I bring my sunglasses? By the way, the answer is always bring your sunglasses.
I wish I was wearing a hat right now.
You need it.
I feel so vulnerable. right now.
This podcast makes you so vulnerable.
I'm being stripped down to my bare essence, and I'm not comfortable with it.
Ellen, will you come back on the show in the future to tell us how you do in the Boston Marathon?
I absolutely will. Hopefully we'll have some good news for you.
Well, I'm excited because we're running the same race.
We are running the same race.
I mean, well, come really, on. Not come really. On. I mean, not really.
It's not in the sense race. That... It's the same distance on the same day.
On the same day, we'll be doing the same course, but clearly each of us will have such unique experiences, as all runners do. And what I love about it is that Brian will be able to interview probably 2.5-3 hours before I even start the race.
I'll warm up the crowd. I'm very funny, as you know.
I know. You will warm up the crowd because you'll have streaked by them all easily 2.5 hours before I've begun. It's amazing. Thank you, Ellen London. We'll see you on the race course. Actually, we won't. I'm sure. I think I'll see a picture of you on the race course. I actually probably won't see her.
She'll text you when she finishes before you start.
And I'll be there with the scream tunnel at the end.
Oh, yay.
Woo!
See you, Ellen London.
Bye. Good luck.
Come on, Bray.
Brian, it was so great to have funny Ellen London here. But before we go any further,
yes.
I think it's time for me to check in.
Yes.
On the Clyde Army Countdown.
Peter, that music is vaguely familiar, but what's
memory.
My role
yeah, you
in,
have no
in this challenge?
This. Last,
am I supposed to be doing something?
Yeah, last week we talked about this. We're going to do this for the next 10 shows leading up until the marathon.
Okay.
Because I'm a little concerned. I'm a puffy man, and I'm carrying a little too much extra baggage to run successfully. So
emotional baggage or poundage?
All the above.
Right.
It all adds in.
Yes,
so
it does.
I'm trying to make a concerted effort to put in extra workouts, a little core work, have a salad, less on the sandwiches.
Oh, I remember. I'm supposed to ask you this question. Hey, Peter, how much do you weigh?
Thank you, Brian, for asking. Today,
yes,
I'm clocking in at a svelter 222.
£222.
Yes, that is a decrease.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Of 3 pounds.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yeah. Now, it's mostly water.
How do you know that?
I can feel it.
Did you see the puddle?
I did on Saturday.
I'm sure you did.
I just wanted to keep everybody motivated.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to be too grandiose here. I think that was a dramatic loss in 1 week, but I think, to
well,
be honest...
It's a dramatic music intro to this segment, I can tell
dramatic.
You that.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's tremendous.
No, I think
it's far more than this segment deserves.
I think my original weigh-in last week, I had maybe had a little too much the night before in terms of food and beverage, and I think there was a bloating issue. And I think now I'm more me. I think I'm more me. So here we are, 222... We'll check in again next week if you remember to even think about it.
Peter, this has been a fascinating diversion, but we have more pressing concerns.
Hey! This has been episode 66 of How Is Your Run Today? With Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg, especially that Clyde Army Countdown jingle he made. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence.
Listen to us every week wherever you collect podcasts. Funny Ellen London keeps hers in her bleach-cleaned glass shower. Boy, that's a vocal exercise.
That's a
tongue twister.
We're going to keep that.
But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Remember we had a long segment about this week?
Yeah, remember
that. Extended
Rewind,
segment.
Rewind, re-listen to it, go do
no,
it.
No, it really does make a difference in how this little here show is ranked.
And join us every Saturday on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram for our Sat Stat Chats. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and if you can, include a sweet, sweet photo.
I even included a sweet, sweet photo this week.
I did too.
Fulfill all of your HWYRT shopping needs at our Redbubble store.
And if you love HWYRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free, and it's much easier than scraping the insides of your ankles with your shoe chains.
Ooh, ouch. Ooh, ow, ow, ooh, ow. Ow. Ow.
It does hurt.
For everything else, please go to hwyrt.com, including access to the Radio Public app.
Hey, Brian, do have a good, good run today.
Well, it's finally sunny in the Boston, Massachusetts area. I just might do that. You too, buddy.
See you next time. Bleach cleaned glass shower. Ellen London keeps hers in her bleach cleaned glass shower. Bleach cleaned glass shower.
Funny
bleach.
Ellen London keeps hers
funny
in her bleach.
Ellen London.
Bleach?
Bleach?
Is it the BLCL?
It's the, well,
bleach
it's the bleach cleaned
glass
and then glue.
Shower.
Yeah, see, so it bleach cleaned glass shower.
Bleach cleaned. And once bleach you get cleaned. That.
Yeah,
you're sort of like, oh, everything's easy, and then you're like glass shower, and then you got two S's.
But it's because we also have the funny Ellen London, so that's a lot. Funny Ellen London keeps hers in her bleach clean glass shower.
Well, it's you have three L's in a row. You have bleach, cleaned glass, and then you have glass ends in an S, and shower begins
glass
with an
shower.
S. So glass you're going to glass shower, and you can't say glass shower. You have to say glass shower.
Funny Ellen London keeps hers in her bleach-cleaned glass shower.
Funny Ellen London keeps hers in her bleach-cleaned glass shower.
We should never have written that.
No, that's all. Who wrote that?
I don't know.
Let's fire that writer.
Last week, we began a new segment for the show.
Yes.
We're going to be doing over the next 10 shows.
Yeah.
Called the Climart...
The Kmart Challenge.
And you're eating a chicken.